Your mind is sure that I'll be loving you always. Now I can't reveal the mystery of tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And as promised, my guest, none other than the legendary Mr. Bob Law, out of, you know, I always want to say New York City, man, but you're in Brooklyn, New York. But let me tell the listening audience a little bit about Bob Law. Bob Law, back in the 80s, Bob? Was it the 80s that you began Night Talk, nationally syndicated, the number one and first nationally syndicated black radio talk show across the nation?
Yes, it was in the 80s, early 80s.
Yeah, and so, and even to this day, you're still at it. From the streets with Bob Law gives voice to a wide range of black and progressive political and cultural perspectives. The audience can engage in live and interactive discussion with Bob and his guests, many of whom will be major national and local personalities through the studio call-in. Good morning to you, my friend. I'm glad you're back. Been a while.
Well, thank you for having me. Good to be with you.
Let me begin by giving people a little background. You've been around a little while, man. You the civil rights struggle. You were right there, and you knew many of those who were engaged in the civil rights struggle. The reason I asked that question, Bob, is because today, are you surprised that there are people who want to erase that, and that somehow what took place in this country during those times that you and I and many others lived through somehow is looked at negatively, and there are people who want to erase that truth? What do you say to, you know, at this point in time, to people who want to erase that truth?
Well, the first part of the question is yes. I'm surprised to some extent that there are people who are still in denial and are still trying to perpetrate the falsehoods that this country has been based on. And there's a movement globally for truth and justice, a movement globally for truth. Old, antiquated distortions are being challenged all over the world. And it is a different era. It is an era of truth. And what's interesting is that the people who oppose truth, people who say that they are the champions of truth, you know, they're the evangelicals, the black and white evangelicals who would attempt to wrap their racism and their white supremacy in a Christian garment, they are saying that we shouldn't tell the truth because the truth is harmful. I've heard them actually say that we should not make young white children feel bad by teaching the truth in schools. We don't want to hurt their feelings. We don't want them to feel bad. Now, these are people who claim to be disciples of Christ. Christ who said, "Know ye the truth, and the truth shall set you free." It is surprising that the people who claim to be wearing the Christian coat of many colors are actually resisting truth. Their hypocrisy is surprising. The level of their hypocrisy in this day and age is surprising. Yes.
You know, Bob, and to make the statement that it makes our children feel bad is to ignore the fact that the people's children who were impacted the most, as if their feelings and emotions mean nothing.
See, we have to be clear, I believe, that all of the reasons that they are giving for their racism and it are fake. That's why they don't make any sense. They don't really care about hurting anybody's feelings. They don't care about immigration reform, as they pretend. They don't care about any of the issues that they identify as and pretend that those issues are motivating them. That's why what they say doesn't make any sense. Because they are not being challenged on the level that they should, and they are not being questioned. And with their dishonesty, they are not saying what their real concern is. So what these right wing racists of white supremacists are really saying, and in that group of white supremacists, there's a whole bunch of black folk who have bought into white supremacy, like Herschel Walker. There are others. There are black folk who have bought into white supremacy and have always believed that white is right. You know, there are black folk who have always believed that that you must trust and even deify white people. So all of the white supremacists are not black, although the overwhelming majority of them are. But their real concern, what they are saying to each other, is what's happening in America. That's their concern. That's their question. What is happening in America? And then they answer it, and they say that what is happening in America is that we are losing our white privilege. We are, and that is our single concern. We are losing our white privilege. There are white people who feel that they are not competent enough to compete in this new global economy, this new global reality. They don't think that they are competent enough to play fair. So what they want is a return to the old days of white privilege, when all you had to do to get anything, like get a cab in the rain, to a job in a union, that all you had to do was be white. And that is what they feel is slipping away. See, there was a time when the only people that whites had to compete with or suppress were blacks and Puerto Ricans. And so they were handling that. They had Jim Crow. They had segregation. They had discriminatory policies everywhere, and they still do. But now what has happened in this global economy is that there are people now from all over the world who are coming into this country and others, and they are coming now with a demand for equity and fairness, and they are willing to challenge the white status quo in every city and every country now. So now you have people, now these white folk have to compete with and suppress, because they don't want to compete. They now feel compelled to suppress everybody. So now you have Asians and Dominicans, and you've got Africans, and you've got people from all over the world. People are coming into this country, and they are moving into their own neighborhoods. They don't mind living among themselves. They don't have any integration movement trying to move into white communities. If there are ethnic communities in every city, and if you drive into the ethnic community, you go into an Asian community, you will see that in the Asian community there are grocery stores and hair salons and real estate agents, fast food restaurants that they own. They are building their own economic base. They're building their own local economy, which is important for any community. And so there are whites who are threatened by that. They now feel that they are losing basically what their concern is. There are whites who feel that they are mediocre. And the whites who feel that they are mediocre don't want to have to compete with the Asians and Dominicans and everybody else who is coming here. They want special privilege. They want to be able to get the jobs, the raises, the bank loans, the whatever it is. They want to be able to get away with drunk driving, which is what happens ordinarily in white communities in this country right now. But there are other people coming along who are saying that we don't mind playing fair. We don't mind competing. We don't mind sharing resources. We're learning from each other. But then you've got some people who feel that they are mediocre, and they say, I don't have anything to contribute to building or helping to construct the future. I'm a mediocre white boy. I don't know nothing about nothing. All I want to know is that the status quo is going to work for me, and my concern is that I am losing white privilege.
Bob, hold that thought. We've got to go to a break. Bob, hold that thought. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. My guest is legendary Bob Law out of New Jersey, and we'll be right back. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is the award-winning Mr. Bob Law, radio talk show host, former and as well as present host of The Streets with Bob Law. And so I've asked him to come on today. And, you know, Bob, It is so frustrating to me as I watch what is taking place, and I got to tell you with a bit of anger, because it's after all of what we know took place, and our beloved parents who are gone and what they went through and all of those things, for people to act as if, don't you know your place? You know what I mean, Bob? That is, you see that. And this is 2022, and we backslid from the standpoint that there are people who actually act as though, don't you understand your place? And then talk about patriotism, right? I mean, and yet don't want our children or any other children to know what took place and what is presently taking place, and somehow that's supposed to be an acceptable, as you stated, Christian way of living and thinking.
Well, as I say, one of the reasons that, if not the primary reason, that much of what they say doesn't make sense is because they are building convoluted arguments that are based on utter nonsense, because that is not their real concern. They haven't spent any real time building a reasonable argument, because they haven't spent any, they are so dishonest philosophically. They are so dishonest spiritually, so that they do not put on the table their real issue, and have tried to hide what their real issue is with all of these other arguments that they are supposedly defending. But their real concern, as I say, I firmly believe, their real concern is white supremacy and white privilege. And when they look at what is happening in this country, when they ask themselves and when they have conversations and forums and meetings, they talk about what's happening in this country, and they say that, and they point out that their concern is that what's happening in America is white, they are losing white privilege. They want everyone. It's not just a question of believing in white supremacy. They understand that there's no such thing as white supremacy. They know that they are not, if they know that they are not superior to anybody on the planet. They know better than that. If they thought they really were superior, then they would be willing to compete with everybody without cheating. There wouldn't be any need for discrimination. There wouldn't be any need for double standards. There wouldn't be any need for the racist behavior to give them an advantage, because as superior beings, they would just compete and be successful every time because they are superior. They are fully aware that there's no such thing as white supremacy. But what they do, what is tangible, however, is white privilege. And what their real concern is that they are losing their special advantages and that is what they really want. White advantage, white translates into white privilege. But because look at the arguments that they make. There are people who are applauding. There are people who were applauding the Supreme Court decision against Roe versus Wade to remove that. There are people who are reporting that Supreme Court, who are applauding rather that Supreme Court decision, and they tried to wrap their approval again in a Christian robe. They were saying hallelujah, thank God, oh I'm so happy, oh I'm not, my prayers are answered. when they say things like that, you have to wonder, what Bible are they reading? See, the sacred text of Christianity is the Bible. And Christ says in that sacred text, whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. There's no scripture to support the notion that you can legislate morality, that you can impose your will on the people. That what Christ said is that I want you to preach my gospel so effectively that when people have to make a decision, they will choose me because of how well you, preacher, have preached my word. He didn't say you can be a mediocre preacher who can't convince anybody of anything. But you can hook up with corrupt politicians and create laws to enforce what you say is my will. Christ said, I want you to preach it so well, but I want people to have a choice, whosoever will. So the Supreme Court ruling was not a ruling against abortion. The Supreme Court ruling was a ruling against free will. That is a direct contradiction to what Scripture teaches. So Where are these? What kind of Christians are these? What Bible are they reading? Who are these people who are claiming that the things that they are promoting is the will of God? You know, it is. But the reason that they are their message is ridiculous, doesn't make sense, is because they haven't bothered to think it through. Their only concern is white privilege. That's what all of this is about. That they don't care about immigration reform. What they're saying.
Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is the legendary Bob Law. You know, Bob, our communities throughout all of this are suffering in such a horrific way, even during the civil rights struggles. You know, there were opportunities, at least through industry and other places, where our communities, people could at least earn livings, and people own their own. And so we were able to compete inside of our own communities and realities. But you look now. And even though you talked about others who are upset about the fact that they are losing something, so is our community in a much broader number. And so when I look at our children and our future, and I hear people constantly on the other side of this pointing fingers about, well, those people are so violent and crime is so prevalent in their communities, and we don't understand why. Man, so what do you say to that, Bob?
Well, see, I'm trying to put everything in.
Yeah, you are. You're doing a good job of putting it in perspective.
What we were talking about was, see, they make a lot of false arguments as they talk about immigrants, for instance, is where we left off, and they have a concern for all of these people coming into the country, and they say things like, these people are coming into the country and they're taking jobs away from Americans. There's no such thing as taking a job. You can't go anywhere and just take a job. The people get hired based on employer preference. The other white Americans who are in policy-making positions, the other people who are doing the hiring and waving flags and talking about America first, until it affects them economically. So when they don't mind saying America first, but when they have to hire someone, if they can hire someone who is not an American, if they can hire an immigrant who will work for less money, who will work for longer hours, who are even willing to hire people who are here illegally, because then they don't even have to pay payroll taxes or provide health insurance for them. They are here under the radar. These same America First employers choose Americans second and third and hire the immigrant from the immigrant population, without any real concern for their fellow Americans. But their fellow Americans won't admit that it is their richer brothers, the employers, who are deliberately choosing from the immigrant population. So instead, they pretend that the immigrants are guilty of something by being here and are taking jobs. They know better. There's no such thing as taking jobs. It's employer preference. So there's a lot of, you see, there's a lot of contradictions that don't make any sense. There, when you talk about this crime, there's so much crime in this country that they call it organized crime. There's so much crime, it requires an FBI and police, national police departments all over the country, rather, that to deal with the real crime. There's criminal enterprise in this country as it is in other countries, but there's in an effort to demonize just certain segments of the population, they will pretend that the crime and the violence is something that comes from one single group. That's in order to demonize them, so that they can say, therefore, we should have white privilege. These other people are doing harm. They are savages. They are not qualified. They don't deserve justice. They don't deserve equality. Just us. And all of what they say, the point I guess I'm trying to make is all of what they say is based on a false theology that they have created in order to justify white privilege. They want the resources of the country. They really would like the resources of the world to be set aside for whites only. Now, what is terrifying for them is that, unlike their effort to legislate morality, what we did with our movement for justice and equality, we engaged in a movement that actually talked to the hearts and minds of the people. And so, regardless of what kind of morally bankrupt legislation they create, our message did resonate with the hearts and minds of the people. We did what Jesus said to do, and we taught people. We changed their heart. We changed their mind. And so now you have emerging generations, young white people, brown, Asian, you have emerging generations who have a change of heart, and they don't want to be like their grandparents. They don't want to be as hard-nosed and as immoral and as hypocritical as their parents and their grandparents. We didn't have to create legislation to force them to embrace justice. Their own hearts and minds motivate their behavior, and they are now saying, "We want a new world, and we want fairness, and we want a new society." And you've got their parents and their grandparents and their great grandparents who are still here. You've got their grandparents saying, "No, we don't want fairness and justice. We don't want to have to compete with the rest of the world. We want things the way they used to be." And that's their mantra. We want to go back to the way things used to be. And the way things used to be, we were able to benefit from ownership of the resources of this country and around the world. And we presented, with colonialism, for instance. And when we just saw the funeral of the Queen and the conversations all around the funeral were, this is the end of the British Empire, that more and more countries will be stepping away from the monarchy, from the British Empire. This is a new day, significant changes occurring, where colonialism and the exploitation of the human and natural resources in other countries around the world are no longer at the disposal of Europeans. And the same thing is happening in this country, where the exploitation of the resources, both human and natural, are not set aside for whites only. For a long time in America, and even now, the resources are set aside for whites only. But there are people who recognize that how unfair and imbalanced that is, and are moving to change that, or at least are willing to change it. And that is what the evangelicals and the other black and white supremacists are concerned about.
So Bob, how is it possible that the Proud Boys, the Boogaloo Boys, the Oath Keepers, and you would ask, how can those people be on the same page as the evangelicals? You know, I mean, that you would think that would just be so. And there was a time when the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, and the Boogaloo Boys would hide. They wouldn't come out in broad daylight. These people have come out in broad daylight and making threats to kill FBI agents. And so that aspect of white supremacy is out there for everybody to see. And yet you don't get enough pushback on that.
You know, the white supremacists, you're saying, how did the paramilitary arm fit with the evangelicals? The evangelicals have historically been among the biggest liars, distorters, and hypocrites in the country, going all the way back with Jimmy Swaggart and all of those guys. The evangelicals were in were members of the Klan. You know, Klan members were preachers, and what they have in common is a desire for white privilege. There's nothing that separates them on a principled basis. What they all have in common is the hypocrisy of white supremacy and the desire for white privilege. There's never been a time when the evangelicals were credible people. And the other thing, though, is that what you hear about the Proud Boys and those other kind of white organizations, groups of white folk. And so it appears that is the only sentiment, that is the only thing that is building, that is the only thing that the news gives any coverage to. But if there are groups, there are many groups that are even, I don't know how paramilitary, but they're not claiming to be nonviolent. There are other groups that are also working within the disenfranchised communities in order to stabilize those communities, and they don't get any coverage. You would think that they didn't exist. They're you know, for instance, when you look at the it is very selective reporting. When you look at the coverage of history, contemporary history, in news documentaries and in the largest gathering of black people ever in this country,
the Million Man March.
It never gets any mentioned when they're celebrating the things that black people have done. They're still talking about Dr. King's march on Washington. They talk about the follow-up marches on Washington that get smaller and smaller every year. But that gets mentioned in the news. The initiatives that came out of the Million Man March, and where are the leaders of the Million Man March? What kind of follow-up is actually exists? Let's act as though absolutely nothing has come out of the Million Man March.
So, Bob, hold that thought. We've got to run to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Legendary Bob Law and you, 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. To the Earl Ingram Show, as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is the legendary Bob Law. You know, Bob, so you know, where do we go from here? Clearly, we're at a point of loggerheads where there again, that group of people who believe in what Donald Trump says, make America great again, take us back to the good old days, take us back to the good old times, ignoring that those weren't good old times for everybody. And the fact that America and all Americans, should be equal. And yet we live in a society that everybody knows it's not that, hasn't been ever, and still is not that. And yet these people keep pushing for things to become even more unequal. How do we then, Bob, those of us who have been disenfranchised and our children and their future compromised, how do we then push this narrative and push back against what we know is happening?
You answered that. We have to replace the narrative that the Trump people, and it's not really just the Trump, Donald Trump didn't create
right.
Trumpism. He didn't create white racism. He simply took advantage of it and used it to propel himself. But we have to push back against that narrative with a more truthful narrative of justice, truth, and righteousness. What's missing in this country right now is righteousness. We have been, with Trump and others, we have been encouraged to follow unrighteous leadership, particularly with what Trump and others and his ilk represent. But what I think, the point that you were trying to make earlier is that the historical reality, the treatment of all of us in this country, has had consequences. Discrimination, discriminatory policies, racism, double standards, all of the things that have been done under the name of white privilege have had devastating consequences. consequences on generations of people in this country, particularly the generations of black and brown people. And there are generations of white people who have benefited from the land theft. They have benefited from deed theft. They have benefited from the GI Bill, which gave government back mortgages, loans to people coming out of the military. But they didn't do that for black men who were coming out of the military, so that black people were not able to buy property, own property, and or start businesses or do any of the things that help to stabilize the community. Those consequences, the consequences of that have created some deficits in this society, which is why Reverend Barber calls his organization the Repair the Breach. What we are in need of are strategies that are designed to repair the breach, that are designed to repair the damage that has been done by racism and racist policies all of our lives. We need to repair the damage. We don't have a leadership, black or white, that is focused on repairing the damage and helping to create a newer society where everybody has the same equal opportunity. But to get that equal opportunity means to compensate for what has been denied people all these decades, and bring, so that means that to get started, there are some things that are going to have to be done to bring us all up to the same point, not starting from where we are saying, okay, we will no longer discriminate against you. You know, we've been discriminating all these decades. We won't do it anymore. Now let's play fair. However, you're not doing anything to repair the condition that your discriminatory practices have created all these decades. And so just to say we're going to stop doing it doesn't really repair the damage. We've got to do some other things now to repair the damage. Then we start to move forward. We understand that. There are people who don't want to see that happen because they really don't want to repair the damage. They really want, based on their own sense, low sense of self-esteem, there are people who just don't think that they are competent. They don't think that they are capable. They don't think that they can prosper if we actually begin to play fair in a very real sense. They don't think that they are equipped intellectually or any other level. And so they insist that there is a system of white privilege. And see, the point I'm trying to make is that all of these other conversations about these other levels of what we might call the other issues, they are having a conversation about these various issues and attitudes is really a waste of time, because none of that is what motivates the Proud Boys. None of that is what motivates Donald Trump. But look at these two people running for the in the Republican primary in your city or state, and still pretending that the 2020 election was stolen. They know better than that. That's not their issue. Making sense and telling the truth is not their issue. Their issue is white privilege, and they will say and do anything in order to encourage their constituents to rally around one single idea.
Bob, we got to leave it there. Thank you very much, my friend. As always, it's been a pleasure, and we'll talk soon. That's legendary radio talk show host Bob Law. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We'll be back.